Another element to violence. Another element to violence. That violence was only spoken in relation to the Palestinians. Violence was spoken in relation to the Palestinians as if we are speaking that the DNA of the Palestinians is only two DNAs, either death or violence, which in either way is a result of one or the other. But no mention whatsoever of the systematic violence that has been practiced by Israel since its inception, if not before. Systematic structure of violence that has been used against the Palestinians from the inception. The first bombing of cafes was not the work of the Palestinians. It was the Zionist movement in Palestine, in Yaffa and Haifa. The first bombings of railroad was not the work of the Palestinians. It was the work of the Zionist movement as well as the British. If you have ever read T.E. Lawrence, they call him Lawrence of Arabia. My apology, he is not Lawrence of Arabia. He does not belong to the Arabs. He is Lawrence of 10 Downing Street, an intelligence officer that had no intelligence whatsoever, but nevertheless caused what is called the Great Arab Revolt. And I say the Great Arab Revolt was not Arab, nor was it great. And therefore, we need to understand these elements as we speak. It was not the Palestinians that have brought about violence. We've been the victims of violence. But Palestinians do use violence. And you might blame them for using violence, and that's acceptable. You could disagree with the people for the strategy that they pursue, but don't mix critique of the strategy with nullifying the right of people to choose their strategy. Those are two separate and distinct elements. And if we want to even go deeper than this, how did we learn violence? Since Obama mentioned the struggle of the African American in this country, which is very important, the slave did have rebellion in this country. We had slave rebellions in this country. We had slave rebellions throughout Latin and Central and South America. If you don't know, just go and read the Bahia Rebellion in Brazil to understand, yes, the slaves did rebel and did use violence against the slave master. But the one psychological barrier that they crossed is at one point, the slave have taken so much punishment, have been whipped so much, have been dehumanized so much, that at one point crosses the boundary and takes the whip from the hands of the master and begins whipping the master. At that point, the master is shocked because he says, I taught you how to be obedient slave, but he doesn't recognize that throughout his history, he was teaching the slave how to use the whip. And it's only the shock for him is when the slave took the whip and inflicted the same pain that he had been suffering under the hands of the master. So it's innocence, the education. It is the slave master who did not get the education. The slave learned the lesson properly and acted as a student would act. Being inflicted with violence, he understood that the only language that the slave master understands is the language of violence. And at that point, the slave master, as the slave to be, engaged in peaceful protest. I will give you your right if you become peaceful. I will give you your right if you take into the nonviolent strategy. But that psychological barrier has already been crossed. So therefore, when we evaluate in the Palestine-Israel conflict, or the U.S. engagement in the Middle East, or the U.S. involvement in the Muslim world, I say the following. The U.S. has already lost the war. The U.S. has already lost the war. Why do I say that? A superpower and power in general, its ability to win is based on its ability to make the other fearful from crossing that psychological barrier. It is the fear that constituted by power that make the other being restrained from engaging in confrontation of the power. Second, a superpower should not deploy its forces on the ground in any type of conflict. It should always deal with proxies to conduct its war. Once the superpower no longer is able to manipulate the power relationships and the ethnic rivalries or the tribal rivalries and has to put its troops in there, that psychological barrier of fear has already collapsed. And it's only a matter of time between losing the psychological barrier and withdrawing the troops for the failure of the policy. So make no mistake about it. The U.S. has lost the war because there is no war that is winnable in Afghanistan. For those who have read history, they should actually read history from the way of Alexander the Great. No one can win a war in Afghanistan, superpower or otherwise.